Today is my mom's 63rd birthday. So happy birthday, Mom. Yeah. And so I figured, she loves attention, but I figured to make it special, I'm going to give you my birthday gift in front of everyone. Is that okay? My gift to you is this sermon. Yeah. So before you start to think, you cheapskate, you should have got your mom something nice. I'm mainly going to try to basically influence Jenny. I don't want her to think I'm a cheapskate. But there's something about a mom that just loves to hear their boys talking about Jesus. Yeah, and I knew I could count on Rita, Pastor Brandon's mom, to agree. There's just something about that that's a gift. So that is my gift to you. And to kind of prove it to maybe Jenny and everybody else that I'm not just trying to be cheap. Next Sunday is my son's birthday. He turns 10. And because I think of how moms like to hear their sons talk about Jesus, and sons don't like to hear their fathers preach. So my gift to you, Caleb, next week is that I'm not preaching. How's that sound? I think about what people want and I give it to them. Right? That's what a good gift giver is. So Mom, this is dedicated to you today, so I changed some things to try to make it a gift. So we'll see how I do. But it got me thinking, going down memory lane. So go ahead and groan, because nobody wants to hear the guy get sentimental, right? It's a groan. Okay, get it over with. Well, it doesn't matter what you think, because this is for my mom and not for you, so I don't care. I was thinking about Christmas, and Christmas is, like, my mom and my dad too just really made Christmas a time of awe and wonder for us growing up. It was just so fun. They would really go all out, get into it, and I remember every Christmas Eve, there's just something special, really special about Christmas Eve. It was a time of great anticipation, and we had this tradition when I was small. I've got a sister and a brother, and we would go into mom and dad's bedroom. And they were out, I think, greeting Santa or whatever adults do during that time. And so we would be in there, and it was kind of late for us. And on our local news station, like right after the local news station, there was a tradition. Every year, right after that was over, they would start playing A Christmas Carol, one of the versions of that movie. And so I think we were kind of bored by it, but we really couldn't focus anyway. But I just remember being in mom and dad's bedroom with my sister and my brother and having a Christmas Carol on TV and just waiting and being so excited, feeling like it was taking forever and we were never going to fall asleep, and somehow we did. But those times on Christmas Eve, because Christmas morning was just always so full of joy. Just great, great memories. I also remember we had another tradition on Christmas Eve, where every year we would go to Christmas Eve service at the church in our small little town. And I just remember being a kid there and family around, and the singing a few Christmas carols was okay, but for me that service lasted forever. And I'll tell you what, when the pastor would drone on and on and on, I just thought he was never going to finish so that we could get to the good stuff. But I just remember as a kid feeling kind of tormented, like, when is this going to end? When is he going to stop talking? Which, by the way, that's probably my 10-year-old self is why I don't preach on Christmas Eve too. So you would like my 10-year-old. Thank my 10-year-old self. But it's just like, when is this going to end? And I would sit there and just, it seemed like it never did, but eventually it did. Now, it's one thing to sit through a really long service or to hear a boring preacher talk for a long time while you're trying to get to something else. It could be a football game or some sort of family celebration. But today we're going to go more than that kind of disappointment or more than that kind of anxiety. But we're going to talk and think about our lives. And have you ever gone through a dark time that you thought would never end? Have you ever been in a season of life where it just seemed like things would never get better? What you were hoping for, what you were waiting for, what you were anticipating was never going to happen. And maybe you almost lost hope or felt like you did lose hope completely. Have you ever had one of those times where it was so difficult and the wait seemed impossible? And really, as you look back, you might even say, at that point in my life, all hope was lost. Maybe that's you even this morning. I mentioned A Christmas Carol, and Charles Dickens, in that real classic book, one of the lines that really resonates with me is that he calls all of us here, all of us people, fellow passengers to the grave. That kind of puts life in perspective. All of us have that in common, that we are on our way to the grave. It's not a fun reality, but it's true. And another thing that all of us have is that all of us have gone through dark times. All of us have had times, and a lot of us are maybe even there right now, but times when it just seemed like hope was lost, or we wondered if what we really wanted, what we needed, was ever going to happen, if things were ever going to get better. All of us are like that. So today, we're going to look at the Christmas story, and we're looking at it for what it has to say about having hope during dark times. There are four Gospels. Gospels are basically, they're kind of like biographies about Jesus. They focus mainly on his ministry, though. And those four Gospels, famously, are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Out of those four, there are two of them. There are a couple of them that focus on the Christmas story. The Gospel of Matthew tells us the Christmas story from Joseph's perspective. So in the Gospel of Matthew, in his version of the Christmas story, we have Joseph having a dream, and we have the famous magi / wise men who came from the east and followed the star to give baby Jesus the presents. And then the other very common version is in Luke. And Luke tells us more the Christmas story from Mary's perspective. In the Gospel of Luke, we have Mary and John the Baptist, that baby. We have the angels appearing to the shepherds, saying they had good news of great joy for all the people. So shepherds and angels and Mary are the focus of Luke. So I was thinking about this, and since I've dedicated this to my mom, I thought about maybe Jesus' mom and the version of the story, which version of the Christmas story she would like best. So as I thought about it, Matthew and Joseph's perspective, Luke and Mary's perspective, and shepherds versus magi, which one should we go with this morning? And as I thought about it, I came to one logical conclusion. There's kind of an obvious answer of which version, which gospel Christmas story that Mary would prefer. And that answer that I came up with was the Gospel of John. Wait, John wasn't one of the options, I know. But hear me out here, and I'm going to make a really weak argument for it. So I know it's weak, but that's what us preachers do sometimes. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he's called the beloved disciple, John. He was really close to Jesus. He was there. He was one of the few who stayed with Jesus to the end. And also Jesus' mom was there. And as Jesus was on the cross, he looked down at the two of them. And he said to Mary, "Hey, mom, your son now is John. And John, your mom now is Mary." So Mary was Jesus' mom, but Mary also, from what John said, is also John's mom. And because moms like to hear their boys talk about Jesus, I think that Mary would prefer John's gospel. Okay, so maybe that's a weak argument to you. But let's get into it. Well, there is a little bit of a Christmas story in John, and it's really quick. It's really short. But before we get to that part, we're going to look that Mary would have liked John. We're going to look at how John starts. And I think John starts his gospel kind of with a prequel. It's not the Christmas story yet, but there's a prequel. And this is what John writes. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Now, this is a great start to John, and it kind of brings to mind other great starts of stories. You think about how a story starts. Once upon a time, right, there lived a, and then fill in the blank. But once upon a time, that's a real well-known way to start a story. Another one that some of you love, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. Oh, a lot of Star Wars fans. Great. Me too. But when John wrote, fairy tales weren't quite like they are today. And Star Wars hadn't even been invented yet. It hadn't started. But when people would have heard John's prequel, his beginning to his gospel, a lot of them would have gone back to another classic work. It's the first book in the Bible, Genesis. And it tells us about the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, John used the word, the Word. The Word made, in the beginning was the Word. He didn't use the word God here. He changed it. And he talked about how the Word was with God and the Word was God. But we see that John compared with Genesis. In the beginning, God. And John says, in the beginning was the Word. A clear reference to Genesis. And that that statement of how God created in the beginning. The Word. And when we hear the Word, a lot of times when people say, the Word says, a lot of times what people mean is the Bible, right? One of the 66, or maybe they're referring to the 66 different books that we have, that collection that we call the Bible. So the Word is the Bible a lot of times. But here, John is not talking about the Word is the Bible. So what does John say when he says, in the beginning was the Word? Because we didn't have the Bible back then. The Bible kind of tells us about what it was like in the beginning, but it wasn't there in the beginning. So what is that? What is the Word? Well, we're going to skip a few lines to see what John says, because John reveals the answer a little bit later. He says this: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is, for John, John's Christmas story right here. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, John's story doesn't begin with Mary or Joseph, shepherds, wise men. It begins with Jesus, and his Christmas story there is summed up in this little line, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, my mom, again, this is for you, remember, loves the Message. The Message is a translation written by an American named Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson just passed away in October. So he's kind of in our lifetime. And so wrote this, and when he wrote it, it was contemporary language to paraphrase the Bible. So we're going to use the Message today, Mom. This is Eugene Peterson's John 1:14. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's John's Christmas story. That God, somehow, God, the one who created everything, the one who was there in the beginning. Now, Jesus was born in 4 BC. It seems like a long time ago, but there's a lot of history before that. So John is saying, way before Jesus was born, back way up, that God who created everything, that Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. John's Christmas story focuses on Jesus, which I think is another reason why Mary would love it. We've been talking about his focus, but now we're going to move over and look at the main part of what I really want to talk about with the Christmas story. And that's in John 1, 4, and 5. This is what it says about Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, when I read through this, and I love the beginning, and the beginning was the Word, and in Jesus, in Christ was life, and life was the light to men. I love that picture of Jesus as the light of the world. And usually when I think about light and darkness, I think about good versus evil. And I think maybe that's what you had in mind too, good versus evil. I think of things like Star Wars. The dark side of the Force is evil, right? So the good guys are the kind of represent the light, and they're fighting against the dark side. And so it's a lot of times good, evil, dark is bad. I think of in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote about this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, so like demons and what is just evil spiritually. So that's one way to look at darkness, dark and light. But another way that we can look at it, and maybe it's even related, but that is dark times are times where hope seems lost. And I think that we can relate maybe to both, but darkness. So thinking about that, in him was light, and how the light shines in the darkness. But the darkness. Darkness is like a time when all hope is lost. Now, one of the memories, Mom, is I think of the Christmas of 2004. It was a great Christmas for our family. But the next day after Christmas, it was a time when the world just went dark. It was a time when hope seemed lost. And I remember there's a few memories that I have during that very painful season for our family. It just seemed like the world, like the charmed life was over. And everything was different and things were never going to be the same again. And it was never really going to get better. Like I was afraid of that. And I'm not going to get into the details of that, but just some of the memories that I had were going from just so great, great Christmas, to so dark. And I remember being in a hospital right around that time, because it wasn't just our family that where it went dark from, but there was a tsunami. They call it the Boxer Day tsunami that hit Indonesia and regions around there and just killed hundreds, a few hundred thousand people. And the devastation was awful. And I remember just feeling bleak and confused and in a daze and watching that on TV. And it just felt like the world went dark. I remember a time kind of in that season where I was driving to Chicago, because it was a time when more tears were cried. More pain was felt probably for our family than ever. But I just remember sometime around that season of driving to Chicago and crying about a lot of the way. I just felt broken over what was going on. A lot of us can experience or have experienced similar times in life or just seasons that were just so dark. It seemed like the sun would never shine again. It seemed like the dawn was never going to break. It just seemed like things were never going to get right. Sometimes hope seems lost. When Jesus hung on the cross, darkness covered the land when it shouldn't have for a long time. Followers, when Jesus died, followers had lost their leader. The sick had lost their healer. The poor and the powerless had lost their advocate, their voice. A mother had lost her child. The world went dark. But as a lot of us who focus on that story of Jesus' death, we know his resurrection, and that the cross was not quite as dark as it seemed at the time. Like we know now about Sunday morning from Friday night, but on Friday night it seemed so dark. During that season, it seemed hopeless. During that season, and when Jesus said, "It is finished," it seemed like a desperate cry of hopelessness from a man who was dead. But "it is finished" was not all that it appeared. It was not as what it seemed. Because when Jesus uttered, "It is finished," on that dark day, on a Friday, from the cross, he wasn't surrendering to defeat. It was a cry of victory. It is done. Hope has won. It's over. Everything is not as what it seems. It's so much better. The gospel is true. You may not see it now, but you will see it. It is finished. Proclamation of total victory during a dark time in the God of hope. What do we do with this as we're talking about how Jesus is the light of the world, how he's hope during dark times? Because here's the thing, all of us are broken people. Now, if you just look at people on the surface and don't know much about their stories, there's some people that seem like they have it together. You probably, and there's maybe even some people from church, you look at them like, those guys have it figured out. Here's that one thing that pastors know, and probably a lot of you know too, that that's not true. Everybody's got pain. Everybody suffers. Everybody's gone through a dark time. Even these posts that we see on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, where we start to envy those people, what we see is just the surface. What we see is maybe the nice yard, the nice clothes. What we see is so surfacey. But the truth is that all of us fellow passengers to the grave are broken people looking for hope, and that life can really be hard. And sometimes we wander around in darkness. So if you wander around in darkness, or if that's you right now, what we want you to know is you're not alone. other people wander to. Life can be really hard sometimes. But we want you to know you're not alone. There's hope. Just as there was hope on the cross that people couldn't see at the time, there's hope for you and there's hope for me and there's hope for us together. There's hope. And if today you're not okay, we want you to know it's okay to not be okay. You don't have to put a smile on it. You don't have to wrap a bow on it. If you're not okay, it's okay to not be okay. Because we're all broken. We've all had times of hopelessness and despair. And this morning, we look to the cross. So what does all this mean? This is not pessimism. This isn't doom and gloom. So I hope you don't hear that. Because it's very hopeful. It's hope that can live even in the darkness. So what does all this mean? I want to look at a guy named John the Baptizer. We call him John the Baptizer. John the Beloved, John the Writer, John the adopted son of Mary, who we've been talking about, wrote about another guy, we call him John the Baptizer. So John is writing here about this man, this other man named John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The application, and maybe the Spirit of God will say something different to you, and that's fantastic. But the application, that the way that I see it, the way that it will be for me, is that I want to look around. Look at the people around you. Let's take a moment. Maybe think about your neighbors. Think about people you know. Maybe even people who seem like they have it all together. What you see, you can't see it on the surface, probably, but you see people who go through dark times. Like the baptizer, who wasn't the light, God wants to use you to point people to the light. God wants to use you to point people to the light. He calls us, people who struggle, people who stumble, to point others to the light, to offer hope to people who don't have hope. So I want to encourage you, think about that this Christmas season. How can you be the light? How can you offer hope to someone else? Pray for God to give you eyes that see and ears that hear. You know, even in the darkness, if that's you right now, again, if it's not you, it will be someday. If that's you, even in the darkness, we have hope. Over 700 years ago, a prophet by the name of Isaiah wrote something that we can't quite explain, but he wrote it supernaturally by the power of God somehow, and he was talking about Jesus. Listen to these famous Christmas words that Isaiah wrote long before Jesus was born in the flesh. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, of them light has shone. Then later, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hope came down to a dark world, and that hope is for everyone. Will you pray with me? God, as we think about this here, we want to be people of hope. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the hope of Christmas is for everyone. So, Heavenly Father, you are the God of hope, and we want to glorify you. As people who live in this present darkness, we need light. Thank you that the light of the world stepped into darkness with hope for everyone. Please fill us with the Holy Spirit and with the hope that bubbles over into the lives of others. May those who mourn, mourn with hope. May those who suffer, be comforted with hope. May those struggling with confusion find confident hope. May those who are overwhelmed be lifted by hope. Use us to offer your hope to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.